Hello, my name is Moritz, also known as M Warning. Yes, and I'm going to talk about mesh routing and, well, basically a problem we have in the Freifunk community and something I've done to hopefully, well, to help solving it. It's a hard problem, I haven't solved it, but I've wrote a tool that hopefully makes it easier, or more, at least more fun. To solve it, and the problem is about scaling. Yeah, back to the problem, I guess. The Freifunk community is a mobile mesh network in different towns, and the problem is when you have big towns like Munich or Berlin, then you have probably thousands of nodes. And the current problem is that the routing protocols, the mesh routing protocols running on these networks scale only up to, well, maybe a few hundred nodes, like 800, and, well, 1,000 is something like the current limit, where it's unbearable because every router basically has to say, oh, I'm still here, and it sends this information to every other route. And every few seconds, some sort of "hello, I'm still there" message, and yeah, and everybody does it, like 1,000 nodes to every other, all the other 999 nodes, and as you can imagine, that's a lot of traffic. The routing protocols are not stupid; they're doing a lot to optimize on this. On this approach, and but it's still. Well, when we have a few hundred nodes, it's like 15 kilobytes per node. And, well, when you calculate it up to a month, I think it was something like 40 gigabytes per month per node, and also on the server side, and that's a huge load. Also, I mean, it's a lot of cost for the server. It's bad for the bandwidth of the... okay, of the provider, but we don't care. But this is also the load that goes over Wi-Fi. So somebody accusing Freifunk of polluting the wireless spectrum is not wrong. I mean, yeah, 50 kilobytes all the time over the mesh network, over the wire, over the air. It's not nice. We also well hinder maybe some other devices on the same channel, and yeah. And that leads to several approaches to target this problem. It's by, for example, segmentation. So basically what most communities like in Munich or, well, areas do is they say, okay, we do something like separate mesh networks where we have a small mesh network, like 300 nodes. And then in the other part of the town, we have a different mesh network. And they're configured in that way that they don't mesh in between. So you have distinct networks, multiple distinct networks in a town to keep the mesh size small. Because it scales quadratically the traffic when you have a mesh network, because everybody talks to, needs to send information to everybody else. And well, and this is the current approach to this problem. It's called segmentation. And yeah, that's how it's done, but it's not nice because you have some static server configuration, and that means well, it's not really a mesh network on that level, and you have well need to have static configuration, and that's not really decentralized because you have to install routes between those mesh networks on your server that act as a gateway between those segmented networks. Okay, solutions so far. Yeah, most mesh networks in Germany, at least, run OLSR, Batman, and some are experimenting with Babel. They have similar limits, and yeah, and so far they're doing a good job to optimize on this state, a very good job. But well. Who wouldn't like to have a mesh network that scales up to like a million nodes? Is it even possible, or is it impossible? I don't know. We will maybe look a bit into this problem. It won't take long. Well, and I have a dream that mesh networks hopefully will be able to cover the entire globe or something like that, and entirely decentralized. But the question remains, is that even possible? I don't know. Let's take a step back, because we know something that appears to scale. It's called the internet. Maybe somebody have heard about it. So you have local networks, and then you have a something like a configured route, and then you have something like subnets, where you have some sort of tree structure where you can, which scales very good. And on the on the global scale, you have a BGP network where you have a lot of static routes that are changed, interchanged between different parts of the network, so everybody knows where everybody else is. It sounds a bit like a mesh network, but it's really static with fallbacks, stuff like that. But in essence, it's not a mesh network, and it won't help us here. Okay. So maybe we can have a quick look at how Batman works, or all is off for that matter. It's a gross oversimplification. Don't crucify me. It's really the high level perspective. Maybe they have a lot of shortcuts and optimizations inside, and really cool things. But basically, you have Batman Advanced, which does a distance vector approach. Distance vector means you send something like a hello packet to everybody else, and everybody else is on some by some neighbor receiving this hello packet and knows, oh, okay, I've got this hello packet from router or from node A. And I'm B, and okay, and I've got it by my neighbor C. So if I want to reach this node, I send to router C my packet, and and he will do likewise. And everybody has just a table of in one column the MAC address, for example, of every node in the network, and in the other column the neighbor you have to send this package that can reach by any sort this node. So it's basically, yeah, I send he over there sends a packet through everybody, whoever is next to him, and those do likewise until it reach me, and I hear, ah, okay, from you I've got a packet from him, basically. And so when I want to send a packet to him, okay, he's moving away, so yeah, well, let's ignore that. Then I will send you the packet, because I know I've got a packet from him by you, so you know how to what your neighbor to send this package so it will reach the destination. So that's basically it. OLSR is very similar, but it maintains the whole topology in the RAM, and can do a lot of optimizations on it. And yeah, and it knows the state of every link. It doesn't have really a table, but really the entire topology in its RAM. So that's basically it, in my sense, in my belief. And also something that, if you are interested in mesh networks, that you will hear first is something like a mesh vectoring protocol is proactive, it's reactive. OLSR and Batman, they're both proactive. That means everybody sends some routing information, for example, a hello packet, regularly. It doesn't it does it every few seconds, even if nobody is hearing. And reactive means you get a packet, you need to route it, but you don't know yet. So then you start asking everybody, where is everybody, and how to reach this this target I want to send this packet to. So you react to the incoming packet, and then you, well, try to figure out how to where to send this packet. And proactive is like, okay, I proactively discover everybody. So when I get a packet, I already know where to send it. So that's a bit difference of between proactive and reactive, but proactive is makes more sense, because when you have sort of a lot of traffic, like in a Freifunk network, it doesn't make sense to react to packets you get. You get all the time your packets, so it makes sense to collect this routing information all the time. So, okay, yeah, back to can it scale? Well, the thing is, I think it's proven. Don't quote me on that. For entirely complete random networks, mesh networks, you can't do it efficiently with limited resources. But the thing is, real networks are not really random. You see, they may be random on short distances, like there's a router, and it sees the router over there. But there's a router on top, which is really next to one node, but they don't see each other because there's some metal plate, I don't know. So you have, when you have a lot of nodes, the connections look sort of random, but if you go on bigger scales, you see that longer routes over long distances are becoming rare. So when we would have a mesh routing network that is like a square kilometer big, or even bigger, then we see that we have a few connections that go from one end to the other end, but it's really the exception. So it's not really random. So there's hope that we might be able to map some structure on this network that allows us to route efficiently. Also, smartphones, people with smartphones, they go around, they go out of reach of one node, they appear, usually nodes, they stand on the balcony, something like that, or nailed to the wall, hopefully they still work. They don't move. So that makes also things easier. So what can we do? We need to tinker, and my plan or my hope is to find some structure on networks in a decentralized fashion where we can route very efficiently. The thing is, for example, if you have like a node in a line, like you have one node 1, 2, 3, and every node just sees right and left, then it's really easy to route. I mean, they can just enumerate themselves by some stupid number, for example 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that is easily to achieve in a distributed fashion. It's rather quickly, I would say. And then when you give a packet somewhere and say, okay, this packet is for 5, you see, okay, this is 18 and this is 16, then you know where in which direction to send. And this is like constant memory, constant effort. This is very scalable. But of course, in reality, we don't have a mesh network that is always in one line. If you can find some innovation, some structure, where we can have something like geo-coordinates, but without GPS, then we might be able to route very efficiently. And since our mesh networks are not really random, it might be even possible to have like really big scale mesh routing networks. At least that's my hope. And since I haven't really like thought about it like a lot, I don't have an answer yet. But I thought, okay, maybe I need something to tinker with. So I wrote a simulator for trying out mesh networks, mesh net routing algorithms, to test a bit, tinker a bit, and try how it works. It's, of course, not real world. You have a lot of other simulators that go really down to the hardware, you have something like jitter on links and stuff like that, and moving nodes, stuff like the Network Simulator 3 and other Omnet++, I think, simulators where you can do it very on a low level. Stuff, but it's hard to use, and I like something with a bit more fun. So I wrote something, and it's on Git. There is it. Yeah, I have on my domain. I have some test setup, some demo setup, but it's also on Git. And now what I can is I can select this graph.json that file. When you know Freifunk communities, they usually have some sort of map where you can see the nodes. And what they basically display is this data from this graph.json file. And you can download it. I can, for example, show you. I would need to look for some Freifunk community. Freifunk, well, Leipzig. Oh, wait, maybe. I don't know if what they use. Well, never mind. Well, at least they load this data from this file. And I can load it here. You see, you have something like these are VPN servers, these big nodes. And you have a lot of clients. These are wireless routers with some bad links. And what I can do, I can load the second file, which has the node information. And now we also have the names. And the red dots are clients. And now I can do stuff like editing. I can remove nodes. I can connect nodes, change the links, and also export it to some other format, like yeah, NetJSON or the MeshViewer format that I've just imported. And okay, I can connect those. Yeah, or even more, I can do a lot of stuff. And I can also create new geometry, a new topology, like this one. It's nice and wiggly. And now it's confused. Okay, so, and yeah, let's remove this a bit, because I'm going to show you some example, because I've wrote this simulator to explore some mesh routing strategies, and I wrote the simulator, and every node is represented based on a class in JavaScript. You can implemented very easily. It's just a method basically where you get in an array of packets and you sort into the outgoing array, and that's basically it. And by this way, you can also send broadcasts and unicast packets, and then by this way you discover your nodes, who is my neighbor. So in the middle, this one has like 1, 2, 3, I think 8 neighbors. And so every node needs to discover its neighbors, and then you can do some table or whatever. You can, every node can have its own view of the topology and some data structure. And okay, and I've already implemented some strategies. I will show you some of those who are more fun. For example, let me reload that file. The Game of Life. You know, Game of Life is it's a nice game. For those of you who know it, some nodes are alive, some are dead, and depending on how many of its neighboring nodes are alive, they're going to die or they're going to be alive again. And so I can simulate, I can step through, and okay, this is the problem is with Game of Life is it's meant to be synchronous. So you have one step is like an instantaneous update of the whole thing. You have something like double buffering, and it doesn't really apply to mesh networks. But you can play around, and let's have some more interesting topology. Let's remove the graph. Remove. And I can create a random tree with some intersections. Yeah. And then you can, okay, I can do 1.5 second steps. And then I can, oh wait, this is maybe 10. Okay, and now you see. Oh. At some point, everything is going to be dead, I think. Okay, just 10 steps. Never mind. Okay, let's load some different implementation. I've implemented something like wait, let's start with this one. Reload. And in this example, every node just makes up a random number, and every node is going to come to a consensus who has the biggest number and adapts it. So it's just meant to do some sort of structure in some way. So it's just something to play around with and to get a feeling with writing mesh routing algorithms. And at one point you see everybody is going to adapt the highest number that somebody has. So yeah. And then we can, on this, we can iterate some changes. Not this one. This one. Reload. Simulate. Where is it? Does it work? No, I think this one is broken. Okay, happens. Never mind. Okay, so at the last thing I want to show is I've implemented something like a distance vector algorithm already. It's something like Batman does, and it already works. So this is basically an idea behind Batman. It's not Batman at all, but it works in a similar way without any shortcuts and improvements. So let me. Okay. I wonder if it shows some change. Okay, I've done some. Now let me stop. The thing is, I can't connect to nodes. I hopefully everybody now has received the hello packet of everybody else in like 23 steps. I don't think they have, but well. I can now add a route from the selected node to the other selected node. Then I can deploy a packet. You see there's a one. And now can step and the packet is very fast. And yeah, maybe you've seen it because I've put okay. Please stop simulation because I've put 100 here. Okay, let's do it again. Deploy packet. And yet, and now you see every step, the packet is moving towards the destination, and at some point it will reach it. And we see here some statistics, how efficient it is, and if all packets have reached the destination. So on these links we might have packet loss. You can also change the implementation of these links. That's why you have a reload here, and also the packets. What I do is I simulate a basic Ethernet layer where you have some just four MAC addresses, the next hop sender, the next hop source, the multi-hop sender, and the multi-hop destination, stuff like that. So yeah, that's basically it. And I hope I can play around with it. And or maybe somebody can come up with a better routing solution so we can have our global mesh network. I don't know if it works, but at least it's a bit fun to play with, to find out how nodes can efficiently find a structure between themselves, like a virtual coordinate system maybe. There are a lot of different approaches you can go. And yeah, I hope this is a small contribution. It's a nice thing to play with. And if somebody has questions, so yeah, please ask. Sorry, the microphone is coming to you.
Hello. What kind of category would gossip protocols fall into? You were talking about proactive and reactive. And the second thing is, are you able to tell me about any practical implementations of gossip protocols? Because I haven't been able to find any.
Okay, I don't know much about gossip protocols. I think it's where everybody tells about everybody else, but that's just my imagination from the hearing the word gossip protocol. I've heard about it, but I don't know much about it. So I can't really tell. Sorry about that. Anybody else? You?
The thing is, I don't know much about these mesh networks, and I didn't quite get the idea that you get from node A to node B with the one packet, and it stopped in the midway, and you had like 100 you had 100 iterations going on. What happened here? I really didn't get it. I'm sorry.
I think, actually, I don't really know what happened. usually they find the route, and there should be a route in the way this whole graph is constructed. So we see there were 2 seconds sent, and so far one got lost. I think one of the packets was received.
Yes.
And the other one was lost, but somehow the counter here wasn't updated. So I think it's a bug I have to fix.
Okay, so that was the one that's lost, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was the lost there.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my theory. Yeah.
But it seems interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, basically, if we would be able to. For every node to have some structure, some virtual coordinate, and the neighbor says, okay, my neighbors have these coordinates, so my coordinate is this one. And when we could do it like concurrently on every node, in parallel, distributed, then essentially it would scale very good. But there are a lot of headaches, like when you have two networks that have some structure and then they are connected. How do you handle it? That's different, difficult. So it's a hard problem. And if you can find a solution that is like 98% correct, that would be really great. Then we would have a really big mesh network, and we could do Freifunk networks that are really big, that are decentralized, and don't rely on some specific infrastructure. For example, now we, this is maybe a different problem, but we have routers in a town, but usually they're not connected because they don't see each other. But it would be nice if we wouldn't be size constrained, and I've told you at the beginning that this big mesh net structure forces Freifunk communities to do segmentation, to throw in a lot of money, to pollute the airspace, stuff like that, and a better mesh network, mesh routing protocol would be really a great improvement, because even a small size community, I think they're using server costs of a few hundred euros per month. It shouldn't be necessary. Okay, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it. That's my idea, and have fun playing.